The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Hi, Tom. Good to see your smiling face.
Might as well.
Tom, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show. He is our Friday smiling face on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the program. It is Friday, June 8th, 2018. We are live here at KVOI Monday through Friday during the noon hour. And, of course, we have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to this program anywhere in the world as long as you have a computer. You can just go to buckmastershow.com. You have the live stream of the program. I know for a fact it works because I listen down in the Bahamas. So, Sarah, I mean, it works.
You were just checking in while you're on vacation.
Yes, I was.
Sort of a long-distance busman's holiday.
Well, yeah. I kind of did a little segment with Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan did a full hour of travel stuff, and so why not call me and ask how it's going? So yeah. I was looking out at the beach and hanging out. Anyway, I want to do a media partner shout-out. Some of our friends, TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you to Dylan Smith over there, Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Tucson Media Group, which includes their portfolio of Tucson-based publications, has Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly, just to name a few. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, Tucson Water Director Tim Tamuer. Did I get it kind of close?
That's pretty close.
Tamuer. Joining me to talk with Mr. Tamuer is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. I've known Sarah a long time, so I have no excuse to butcher her name.
That's true. We have been buddies for a while.
We have been, yeah. We go back a long way. Anyway, it's very serendipitous to have you on the program, Tim, because obviously June is a very dry month, but it's also the month we're doing the monsoon countdown, correct?
It's very exciting for us. We look forward to it just like everybody else.
Tucson Water, by the way, was named recently by the Arizona Water Association as the large system of the year in Arizona. Congratulations, Tim, as far as that accolade goes.
Thank you very much. It was quite the honor, and really reflects the pride and service that we have as a utility and all the work we do with Tucson.
Let's talk a little bit about what is now the 18th year of the drought here in Tucson and southern Arizona. Give us kind of the big picture about where we are as far as water conservation as we now wait for the summer rains.
Well, when you start counting droughts in terms of decades, it starts to make you wonder what is normal, and so that's something we certainly have to look at. But Tucson's water situation is really secure. There's been a lot of planning and investment over the past many decades to be provide a resilient water supply even during extended drought. So we do rely heavily on the Colorado River, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit about the fact that that's a dwindling supply as we speak, but Tucson's in really good shape. One of the key components of that is the conservation that Tucsonans do. In fact, currently we use about the same amount of water we did in the mid-1980s. So our total water use is about what it was almost 40 years ago, even though we have about 200,000 more people in the community. So if it weren't for Tucsonans and their wise use of water, we might be having a different discussion today. But we're in really good shape right now.
And Sarah, I know you remember that crazy little duck that was running around.
Pete the Beak?
Yeah. I mean, it was cute, but the message, I think, resonated with a lot of people.
I think so. In fact, I was mentioning to my husband that I was coming in to and that you were the guest, and he's like, ask about Pete the Beak. Is he still there? Does he have an office?
Yeah, where is he?
Pete's still around. He comes out at certain events when we have things like the Saba Home Show or things of that nature. He'll be around, and He's not as active as he once was, you know, like everybody else. He kind of slowing down, but he's still a key component and really focused on the youth education we have. It's he really has a great relationship with the children of Tucson, and he's still nurturing that.
And for those visitors, and we have a lot of people who move to our area probably every day, and many of them may be listening to this program and they don't really know what Pete's message was. Could you tell us what was that message? And
sure.
What is the message? Because it continues to this day.
It, it does continue, yeah. And in fact, it's evolved over time. So Pete the Beak is the character who personified a need that we had in the 1970s to beat the peak. So
the peak being
peak water demand in the day. So when you look at how water usage varies throughout a day, when everybody gets home from work and you know you're running your dishwasher and your clothes washer, there's a peak in water demand every day in the afternoon, and or at least there was. Mm-hmm. And Pete the Beak was out there to try to get people to think about running water more consistently throughout the day. So you saw things like timers on dishwashers, things of that nature that allowed people to not put as much demand on the system all at one time. And so through that, we were actually able to not only save water, but also save money for the community on having on how big pipelines needed to be and how big booster stations needed to be to move that much water, meeting a peak demand as opposed to an average daily demand. So what started out as really a focused effort on that one issue really became a broad suite of conservation programming that Pete is out advocating for, including water-efficient appliances and toilets, rainwater harvesting. So our suite of conservation has really grown, especially in the last 10 years.
This is a really silly question, but I'm imagining Pete the Beak and McGruff the Crime Dog doing the same sort of events.
They would certainly run into the same circles, along with the gecko.
Yes.
And Dusty the Roadrunner.
Yeah, I wondered if the Roadrunner might be involved.
Absolutely.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And even that, what is it, Tuffy the Toro?
Yeah.
In your paper, The Star, that Tuffy was making a comeback.
Yeah, it's sort of a municipal superhero, superpower force.
Yeah, we just have to be mindful of how often they get together and what they get up to when they're weren't.
Yeah. That's a good point.
You have to keep them apart probably on certain occasions.
Yes.
When I came to town 30 years ago, which seems like back in the dark ages, Tucson was at the time, and Sarah, you may remember some of this. Not that you were here 30 years ago, but you've been around a long time. We were quickly depleting our groundwater source here in Tucson.
I arrived about 28 years ago.
Oh, okay. But we were the largest city, Tim, I believe, that relied totally on groundwater.
That was correct.
Yeah.
And since the early 1980s, we've been on a program to diversify our water. We were certainly not sustainable. If you were to say by the mid-1980s, 1990s, was Tucson sustainable for the long term? Not. We were not from a water supply. So developing a reclaimed water program where we took our golf courses and large turf areas and put them on the recycled water product, and then the importation of Colorado River water are what really turned us from a non-sustainable water community solely relying on groundwater to now one with a robust portfolio.
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I was just wondering. I remember being a young journalist covering the reclaimed water and the gas, our golf courses and all of that. And it was not necessarily an easy sell. But today, all these years later, do people still have the kind of squickiness about reclaimed water, things like that, or is that just sort of we understand that is on the golf courses? Is it in parks as well?
It is in parks. It's on school grounds.
Yeah. So has this perception of that changed, do you think?
Certainly it's changed. I wouldn't say it's 100% acceptance. It's probably in the high 90s, though, in a Tucson community. We often get, especially when people first move to the community, it's going to be a new concept to them in many cases. And so they might see signage out that talks about reclaimed water. What is this? Why, you know, and how does that work? So it's really not an objection. It's more of a lack of understanding. And once we can address that, it really moves forward. And certainly Tucson's not alone. The use of recycled water has significantly grown in the Southwest, Southeast, and it's even now you have communities like Minnesota and the Pacific Northwest that are doing recycled water. And they're where we were in the 90s, you know, with all these questions, all these concerns, and they're moving through that. And so we're helpful with that. But really, Tucson, it's really just a part of who we are.
We'll take our break right here. Tim Tamuer will be with us for the second segment. But first, I want to tell people about the home of the Danish Kringle. Tim, do you know about a Danish Kringle?
I admit I do not.
Okay. Well, Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, has a fabulous Danish Kringle. It's a pastry that Steve and Sherry, the owners, do. And a lot of people from the Midwest know about the Danish Kringles. And they can find them at Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by right now for lunch. Their breads are fantastic. Steve gets up very early with his team of bakers. If you're a baker, Tim, you're up early, right?
Had me at pastry, so I tuned out
okay,
at that point. You got to make the donuts.
And my favorite, those brownies. Try one of them for dessert today. All right, there's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery at my website, buckmastershow.com, and a link to all of our great partners here on the program. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers, plus Suzanne Miller from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we have Tim Tamura with us. Tim is the director of Tucson Water. Sarah Gart Gasson here, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tom, give me that question. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Is there a water reservoir in the Catalina Mountains? Is that a practical idea to have reservoirs in the mountains around Tucson? Tim.
There are actually a number of reservoirs in the Catalina Mountains, mostly in the foothills area, and actually one of our larger ones is up in the Tucson Mountains. So the reasons we have reservoirs up at mountain elevations is because we use the gravity from storing water at elevation in order to supply pressure to our system. And if you know Tucson, you know we have a lot of varying topography and we cover quite a large area. So we have storage at elevation, and we use that to meet the needs of the community.
I had no idea. Thank you, Tom, for bringing that up. Sarah, join in.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on the idea of conservation, water rates. The less you use, the more you have to pay. I mean, speaking generally, to keep the same amount of revenue coming in to operate the system. Where is that balance, and what should Tucson Water customers expect in the coming year as far as rates?
That's a great discussion, because conservation provides movement on rates both up and down. So when you conserve water, of course, you're producing less water. So there's some cost components that go down just by not having to deliver as much water. Unfortunately, most of our costs are fixed, meaning we've already built the pipelines and we've built all the infrastructure. So when you deliver less water, the unit cost to deliver that water will go up. What is often not understood completely is by delivering less water, we're also avoiding some capital investments, large investments that we would have had to make in order to produce the larger volume. So in Tucson's case, there's about $120 million worth of capital projects we've not built yet, but if we hadn't had conservation, we would have had to build by now. So we did a study with the Alliance for Water Efficiency, and they ran those numbers. They looked at what's called the avoided cost by having conservation, and they actually looked at both the water side and the wastewater side, because if you're delivering less water on the potable system, you're also treating less wastewater in the other side of the system. And they found that our rates today are about 12% lower than they would have had been if we hadn't had the conservation. So yes, the rates do go up for a variety of reasons, and yes, the unit cost goes up, but the total bill is lower than it would have been if we hadn't had the conservation.
There, Tucson Water has a very large footprint in our area, but there's also other water districts, other water companies. Can you talk at all about how the big picture with not just Tucson Water, but overall with the Valley, and how we are doing with water?
Absolutely. So we are in a place in 2018 where there's really tremendous cooperation amongst the different water districts. I can't say that that's always been the case, but certainly for the last decade plus and where we are today, we have very similar portfolios of water. So when you look at an Oro Valley or a Metro Water District, they also have access to the Colorado River. And in fact, we all work together in order to utilize it. So what we do is a process called wheeling of water, where Oro Valley, Metro Water, Vail, and others will give their CAP water to Tucson to treat and deliver to them. We send it through our system because we have such a broad reach. They pick it up at the downstream end when we get it to their community, and they deliver it to their customers. And so through that, we've got a lot of what we call interconnections between the systems. We do jointly plan together. There's a group called the Southern Arizona Water Users Association, which includes the water providers and the wastewater and the local farming interests, anybody who uses water, to really have conversation about water supply and how we work together. So we could do a whole story on how we work together as a region to be resilient, and it's really a remarkable feat.
And as far as water, again, running in the Santa Cruz, I mean, water runs in a part of the Santa Cruz already, right?
That's correct. It currently, we have a flow.
I mean, not of course it runs after the monsoon.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it'll be running again. We get a good rain. But on a year-round basis, there's water in the Santa Cruz.
When you get down to where Ina Road crosses the Santa Cruz River, it's a flowing stream because of the wastewater that we generate as a community is treated and cleaned up and able to be returned to the environment. But not a lot of people know about it. Mm-hmm. If you live in that area, you know about it. But we're looking at maybe doing more of that. So we're looking at where the Santa Cruz River 100 years ago or 80 years ago was a perennial flowing stream, was at the base of A Mountain. Mm-hmm. That's why Tucson is here. That's why this valley has had civilization for 4,000 years, is because that was a flowing stretch of river. It's been dry for most of our memories. So we're looking at putting some of that recycled water into the Santa Cruz River at 29th Street or Silver Lake and allowing it to flow downstream toward downtown. And actually, by this time next year, if all goes well, we'll have that project ready to commission.
Is there a cost?
There is a cost. There's approximately a $1 million cost for the infrastructure we need. We really have all the piping and the ability to take it close to that point. We do need to do a small pipeline and then an outfall to do it correctly. You don't want to just discharge it into the river and let it go. You want to do it properly so you don't erode the riverbanks, things of that nature. And then there will be a cost of energy to pump that water on a daily basis to that location. Mm-hmm. But it's actually going to be some of the least expensive water supply that we have. We already own it, so we're not buying that water. But now it flows out of Tucson. It flows into Moran. It flows downstream. This would be retaining it in Tucson, and it's actually less expensive than the Colorado River water that we import.
Wildlife would love it, I would think.
I would imagine. What's the purpose of doing that? Just aesthetics, having a lovely river walk?
It's all of those things. The primary purpose of why would the water department do this is because when we recharge water into the aquifer, we get a credit for that water. We have control of that water, and we can use it for the future. But we have choices on how we do it. We could build an off-channel square basin and recharge the aquifer. Or, in this case, we're looking at how do we get multiple benefits. So by doing it in the river bottom, we're still recharging the aquifer below, but we would be creating that riparian habitat, that wildlife attraction, which also becomes an economic attraction because of the ecotourism and things of that nature. But also, when you talk about water in the desert in a downtown area, you're looking at another thing that can spark broad economic development.
Now, is our water a blend of CAP and groundwater?
That is still correct. Okay. The way we use our CAP water is we recharge it to the groundwater, mm-hmm. and then we pump that blend of groundwater and Colorado River water to the surface and use it. So we've been on the blend and delivering it to customers since 2001, mm-hmm. and it's now our predominant water supply.
Mm-hmm. Did I read something in the Arizona Daily Star about we're one of the few cities that has fluoride added to the water?
We don't.
We do not add fluoride.
I'm not sure how all that came about, but yeah.
We have naturally occurring fluoride in the water. It's at different levels, but it's of a level that's safe, but mm-hmm. also provides some of that fluoridation protection. None of the communities in the Tucson area add fluoride. Mm-hmm. In the Phoenix Valley, many of them do. Mm-hmm. The way they do their water supplies is quite different. They have large surface water treatment plants that they do treatment with, and so often the fluoridation occurs there. But in Tucson, it's really just been relying on the naturally occurring fluoride.
Let's see if we can work a quick caller question in. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon again, Bill.
Hi, Robert.
For your guest, I think it's a known fact that Americans do not respect any amount of consumption unless they're built for it. And that's a very perplexing situation for you guys. But what I wanted to know was, because it'll affect poor people and so on and so forth, industry. What I wanted to know is do you think that any of the water that comes in plastic bottles that you might leave all day in your car, that plastic is leaching into the water?
Okay. Thank you, Robert.
That's an ongoing really concern for bottled water. It's often bottled water is viewed as a superior product. I would argue it's not, and I think there's a lot of data to back that up. But you do have trace organics that from man-made products like plastic that we're finding, and we can measure things down to the parts per quadrillion now. Mm-hmm. So that interaction of water and a plastic container certainly could result in products being in that water that you're not planning for. And so often when you see a bottled water, you'll see a date for a certain number of months after it was packaged. It doesn't necessarily mean it's unsafe, but it might mean that its quality has been degraded over that time.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I know it is an ongoing debate, and especially when you get in the car this time this time of year, and if you've got a bottle of plastic bottle in there, you kind of wonder about are the materials like leaching into the water?
Right. Yeah. And so you also see some evolution in the types of plastics that are used for packaging water. So there's certainly things you can do to protect yourself and increase your awareness is the first step.
So our rates, are they comparable to cities our size, or how does all that work?
Our rates are very comparable to cities of our size and in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. When you look at the local Tucson area, all of our rate structures are fairly similar. There's not a big range of anyone being that much more expensive than the other. We're toward the low end of it. We're not the lowest, but we're toward the low end. Water rates in Tucson tend to be a bit higher than they are in the Phoenix area. The main difference there is Phoenix has the Salt River on top of the other water supplies that they use, like the Colorado River. So that's a big supply we're lacking. And so we import virtually all of our water at this point, whereas in the Phoenix Valley, it's kind of a mix. So that's an avoided cost they have, so they can be a bit lower. Certainly, when you go much further outside of the Arizona area, you find much more expensive water than the rates you see in Tucson.
Mm-hmm. But right now, the groundwater is pretty stable as far as the level of our groundwater?
Our groundwater is actually, in most cases, increasing or rising. Mm-hmm. It's either through the recharge activities we're doing or the fact that we're pumping so much less groundwater than we did in the past. So in most of Tucson, urban Tucson, water levels have increased over 60 feet in the last 15 years. That doesn't mean that everywhere is solved and everywhere is perfect. We do have parts of the aquifer where we still have declines, but we're working toward arresting that as well.
Okay, one final quick question about, do we still have a Tucson Water cop? So if someone sees like water running in the street, can they call someone?
Absolutely, they can call into our public information office line. Actually, we have about a group of seven of them now that are both the water cops, but they're also the group we call the Zanjeros. And our Zanjero program, if you're not familiar with it, is a way where we will come for free and do a water audit of your house, look at your irrigation system, look at your shower heads, look at your fixtures for free, give you some advice on how you could save water and money. And these are the wonderful people that you always have a positive interaction with them. So you can both report waste, but you can also even do a check on yourself and how you use water and get some advice from some of the experts.
Did I hear you say it's free?
It is free.
Oh, good news. All right. Tim Timmermuir, thank you very much, Tim, at Tucson Water, the director there, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll take our break right here. It's the mid-show break on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and I do want to remind people, Tom, that our show repeats tomorrow morning. We re-air the program at 7 a.m., so if you're listening on Saturday morning, hope you have a great weekend. But I hope you have a great weekend if you're listening live now, too. So be right back. family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe, check out our giant cat habitats, or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is the roundtable portion of our hour. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial page editor and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, sticks around from our interview talking about water. And we are now joined by Dan Scheer, Green Valley News editor and also the editor of the Sahorita Sun. Is it improving my pronunciation?
Yes.
Sahorita.
Yep. Sahorita.
Because I you know, listen to you say it.
Sahorita.
And then, well, actually, yes, Sarah lives there.
Yes.
Two
yes.
for three.
So,
yep.
I mean, you know, I've got two Sahorita. Like sour. Sahorita.
Good.
All right.
That's
I'm getting close. Thank you, Tom. Tom helped me out
it's
with
like
a little.
Like margarita, but
yeah.
Different.
What's going on? Yesterday, were you doing some kind of a debate?
Well,
did
we
Joe
had,
Arpaio show?
Oh,
Arpaio show?
Yeah, so this was a CD2 debate, the GOP primary. Mm-hmm. We had two of the four candidates. We had Brandon Martin, and then we had Danny Morales.
I had Brandon on the show this week.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, he's hard line. I said, what are you going to do with the Dreamers? Said, send them all back.
Right, which might be a little logistically difficult. And we talked, I had a very long discussion with him about that very point. And then, oddly enough, I got a call this morning, and I've been talking for the last hour and a half to Kelly Ward, who is running for U.S. Senate. So one of her opponents will be Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who made it to the forum yesterday, and he gave his 15-minute spiel as a Senate candidate, and because they're just doing it as a courtesy. The Green Valley Sahuarita GOP Club sponsored this debate. I moderated it, and somebody in the audience, a member of the GOP Club, stood up and said, I respect you, I've followed you, I've supported you, I want you out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was because they feel that he is being fairly far right, is going to split the vote with Kelly Ward, who's fairly far right, and then they're going to hand the nomination to Martha McSally. That's their biggest fear. So we talked a little bit to Kelly Ward about that this morning, and that's a very real possibility. She feels like it's not as big an issue as maybe some in the campaign do, but Sheriff Joe Arpaio, former sheriff, told us afterward that, yeah, he's been asked that quite a bit, actually, and he's personally hurt when he is asked to leave the campaign. He will be, by the way, 86 this month. He says he would only do one term.
Oh, that's good planning.
And he says
it is the Senate.
Well, he says I'm not
6 years.
Says he's not. He'd be almost 100 if he did two. But he said he's not done with his mission, and so he is not going to pull out. And that's what he said, and I would believe him.
Well, Sarah, I don't think that bodes very well for Kelly Ward, because I do think that's going to split the vote.
Yeah, I think Joe Arpaio has the name recognition, certainly, and that Kelly Ward, while she does have her intense supporters,
a very loyal following, yes.
Yeah, but not like the statewide, nationwide name recognition that Joe Arpaio has, and he has an image, and people, a lot of folks, really like that. Well, Dan, what was the response in the forum when people said when the person said, please leave the race?
Did people applaud? Yeah.
There was a smattering of applause when she asked the question, and then there was a huge amount of applause when he said, I have no intention of getting out. And this is that crowd, though, that would really support someone like him, but they also would support Kelly Ward. And so they are, this is really kind of a conundrum for them. And I will tell you that came out of my conversation with Kelly Ward today is, I would love to see a debate, she too would, with Martha McSally, her and Joe Arpaio. And as she said, and I would agree, you need to see all three standing next to each other addressing the issues. And I think Martha McSally has been resistant to this. So, and we know the early ballots go out in early August, and I would love to see this happen.
And you say McSally is the one who's
resistant to it, and there is some sense that maybe even on the national level, the Republicans are really not pushing for this. I think that they believe she, whoever the nominee is going to have a real big, tough race against probably Kyrsten Sinema, and that they need to kind of save their money for that. But really what it is nobody wants to say anything stupid before the primary, because then that's going to be used against you. The more you talk, the more it will be used against you. And this is why we've had trouble talking to some of the candidates. It's very frustrating.
What about Leah Marquez Peterson? Is she showing up she's one of the four Republican candidates in CD2. Is she showing up for these events?
She's not showing up for a forum led by someone who knows what they're doing and is a true public forum with the other candidates. She did the thing at the Mountain Oyster Club. We're not going to count that. There was just a handful of people there. It was, a paid event. There were certain people who were kept out, including journalists. One got in, thankfully, and was able to tell us a little bit about it. But there's not been a real true forum on this. She has been out and about, including in our area, at these meet and greets, brown bag lunch type things, and speaking to, I'm going to call it safe groups. It doesn't mean that they haven't been asking tough questions. I don't want to give that impression. But there is a difference between a legitimate forum and what she's been doing, and that is frustrating to me. Again, let's face it, she's got the money. She's got the support to probably just sail on through the primary and do this, but at some point she's going to have to get out there in front of the voters. And quite honestly, it's kind of nice to practice before you kind of get on that bigger stage.
Well, Sarah, you mentioned to me during our discussion on water, you'd been in town 28 years. I've been in town 30. And when we first came to town, I mean, everybody would do these debates. They were it was part of running for office. You did television debates for sure.
Yes.
And then it got to the point where I saw it evolve, because I did a bunch of these with PBS. It evolved to like in the race for U.S. Senate, we'll do one maybe in Southern Arizona. And maybe one up in Phoenix. Well, then it changed to, we'll do one statewide.
Right.
And we'll maybe either do it, and usually it was one on at the time when I was working at Channel 6, our sister station, Channel 8, would usually host this. But before, it would be there'd be one on Channel 6 for Southern Arizona, then one on Channel 8. But then it got to the point, just one. Now you can almost see this reluctance to do any among some of the candidates.
I mean, just remember State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, who only spoke to very far-right, friendly media. Yeah, it's all about controlling the message with social media. You can reach voters much more directly. You're in control. You don't have to answer questions. You don't have to be seen fumbling for the answer. Mm-hmm. You don't have to actually answer anything or have any ideas. It's much more the cult of personality, which is why I think Joe Arpaio has a really good shot at that primary.
And they almost don't need us anymore, Bill, but what the voter needs to ask is not what you're hearing from the candidate, but what you're not hearing from them. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be hearing what they want you to hear, but we're going to be asking the questions, frankly, that they don't really want to answer or don't want to dig in too deeply on. And so, yeah, they'll come, and I'm sure the Star will have its editorial board. I'm meeting with them individually. That's still a very different thing. It's very valuable, by the way, when you have them on your show and you've got a nice solid block of time to get deep into the issues. Mm-hmm. But we have too many of these inch deep sound bites that just they say absolutely nothing, and they're frustrating.
And I have to say that some candidates have perfected the no matter what question is asked, they're just going to revert to their spiel that they've spieled a bazillion times before, and you just hear it over and over and over. And I have to say that in my experience with political candidates and interviewing folks, Martha McSally is one of the best. Well, I don't want to say best, but she is she never fully answers the question. She has her talking points, and she goes on, and she speaks very quickly, and it's hard to get in there, and that's on purpose. And I'm not singling her out as the only person who does that, but it is infuriating, as a journalist, it really is infuriating, but as a voter, I'm just offended that why should I vote for you when you're not willing to explain what it is you're offering?
And a good interviewer or a good moderator of a debate will say thank you and go back and re-ask the question.
Yes.
You did, and then flat out say you did not answer the question. And we know that they don't want to answer the question. They don't want to get too deep. With Kelly Ward today, I know I asked her one question three times, and we finally just say, let's put it on the table. What is it that you don't want to say? And they're as candid as they can be, but they also know that certain things, frankly, can get them in trouble. And so they don't want to go there. We need to push them. And again, for the voters, figure out what they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
Be really introspective as far as that goes. It's important.
Tom Fairbanks just asked me a question. Weren't the League of Women Voters sponsors of debates? And I can answer that, Tom. Yes, they did a lot of them, but then I think they also got frustrated and when candidates wouldn't show up. So I don't even know if they're doing that anymore.
On occasion, they do. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, when we had the Justice of the Peace position open in Green Valley, that they actually held a forum that had seven or eight of the prospects there. And I really appreciated them doing that.
Are you going to support two hospitals now in your area?
Well, that's a great question. And the Green Valley Hospital, which has now been open 3 years and is just now coming out of bankruptcy, it's not quite there yet. It's going to be on its fourth CEO. It's struggling. 49 beds. They barely ever have half of them full in high season. Now, I was just there last weekend. We're talking three or four patients. Now, the ER is really busy. Now, Sarita is proposing a hospital through Northwest, 18 beds. And I think in coming weeks, we're going to have some discussions between the two about what are you going to cover and what can we cover. My question is, how collaborative are these two hospitals really going to be? And remember, Green Valley does not have an operator. They don't have a Northwest or Carondelet or Tenet or Banner. They're an independent. Mm. And so how well are they going to play together? That's the question that will be answered in coming weeks. People in Green Valley are terrified that the hospital down there might close.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an area that has a lot of people, who rely on medical care, as we all do, but it is an older population. Mm-hmm. Although with Sarita, it's a younger population now with a lot of kids, just kids popping out all over the place down there. Mm. So there, you'd think that there would be a market for that, but at the same time, who's to say if your health isn't great, are you going to make that trip down to Green Valley for the winter?
And there's the other argument that the people in Sarita never really were looking south. It's really hard to get them to look south for any type of services, and that maybe they were always going to Tucson anyway for their hospitals, mm-hmm. and maybe that really won't take away from the Green Valley Hospital because they weren't going there anyway.
All right. Sarah, anything you would like to talk about for Sunday's paper?
We have an editorial about the policy, the inhumane and terrible policy of separating children from their parents at the border, making the point that there is no question you can ask that separating children from their parents is the answer to.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Dan?
We talked to the Pima Animal Care Center. They've had a lot of animal cruelty cases lately, and we're going to be writing about that for Sunday.
All righty. We will look for both of those papers on the Sunday editions of the Green Valley News and the Arizona Daily Star. Hope you, too, have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks a lot. We'll have our break right here. Matt Russell will be along with his weekend watch with some tips on what to do this weekend. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. All righty then, Weekend Watch presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Yes, it's going to be a very hot weekend, but over in Silver City and Grant County, because of their delightful mile-high elevation, I'd say 15 degrees cooler. Hey, you can't beat that to go hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or why not just hang out in a lovely environment? Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. The host of Weekend Watch, he's been so since we launched our radio project back in 2011, is Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist. And Matt, I was just reflecting back to the early days of Weekend Watch. We used to call weekends like this kind of a Speedo weekend for you. You'd get out the old Speedo, head out to the pool. Well, since then, in the 7 or 8 years since then, yeah, you like to eat. You've packed on a few, so I don't know if the Speedo is going to work anymore.
Well, let's just spare your listeners that visual, Bill Buckmaster.
Oh, my goodness. No, let's just say you will enjoy adult beverages out by the pool. How's that?
Absolutely.
How about a wine weekend or wine night?
Absolutely. You know, Maynard's Market and Kitchen downtown, they are actually kicking off their annual summer wine tour tonight at 6 p.m. So every Friday through the whole summer, they host a wine tasting that focuses on a different region of the world, like Chile and Eastern Europe, even France and Spain and others. But tonight they're keeping it close to home with a spotlight on Oregon Pinot Noirs. So for only $12, you can taste some of the best from the Salem State and hear some great stories about this classic varietal. It's tonight at 6 p.m. at Maynard's.
And how about those that like perhaps a stronger spirit?
Yes, for those looking for more of a botanical boost, if you will, to their weekend, there'll be celebrations all around town tomorrow for World Gin Day. And one that looks particularly refreshing to me is at 47 Scott downtown, because all of their gin-based cocktails on their menu will be half price tomorrow afternoon and evening. So whether you occupy the shake or stir sides of the spirit spectrum, or whether you prefer your gin with citrusy, woodsy, or even floral notes, there's definitely a gin for you at 47 Scott tomorrow.
And 47 Scott has the mixologists who are legendary, so they'll be able to put up some really nice beverages for you.
Absolutely.
What's going on, Matt, with Tucson Originals?
Yeah, well, it's time for another food fight, Bill. and this time it's pizza at the 4th Annual Tucson Originals Pizza Throwdown. It's tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. at Fresco Pizzeria over there on Speedway. About 10 pizza makers are going to be fighting it out, including Rocco's and Mama Luisa's, even Arizona Pizza Company, with craft beers to wash it all down. Your $25 ticket gets you 3 beer samples, a chance to cast your ballot for the best pizza, and all the pizza you can eat, and that's all I need to hear.
There you go.
Let the spinning and tossing commence.
Inside Tucson Business column this week.
Yeah, the results are in from the 2nd Annual Tucson Food Media Barbecue Throwdown. Was my entry strong enough for me to keep the grand prize trophy for another year? You'll have to read the full story.
in this week's Inside Tucson Business.
We'll do it. Try to stay cool, Matt Russell. Thank you, sir.
Right back at you, Bill. Thanks.
All righty. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. The original theme music is composed by Christophan, our fine young German composer. Thank you, sir. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brad, everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer producer on Fridays, Tom Fairbanks, KVOI operations manager, and my Monday through Thursday engineer producer, Ray Allen, production manager, Jerry Cross, Alicia, Elsa, Rhonda, the front office staff do such a great job. And of course, the owners of this locally owned and operated radio group known as Good News Communication, Doug and Mary Martin, who are right now enjoying an Alaskan cruise, trying to stay cool, something we will try to do here in Tucson this weekend. On behalf of all of us, hope you have a great weekend. Be safe out there.